Welcome to Summer Book Club at Radical Radiance. This summer, I am so excited to share some amazing conversations with you based off my book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl. We'll go chapter by chapter through the book for 12 weeks, tackling one topic at a time with some of my friends. We'll unpack having an eternal perspective in our calling, the fear of starting something new, stick-to-itiveness, the mundane and ordinary, comparison, how to spend our time, overwhelm, and so much more. Read along with us by purchasing a copy of Do the Thing wherever you like to buy books. And after you purchase the book, go to dothethingbook.org to join the free Book Insiders Club and receive access to a free devotional and other goodies just as a thank you. Oh, and if you haven't already, go take my free 90-second quiz that will tell you why you're stuck in your calling and give you three free action steps and encouragement straight from me and how to move forward. The link to take that is in the show notes. Let's get to it. Welcome to Summer Book Club. Hey friends, it's Rebecca George, and you heard it here first. I could not be any more excited to share Summer Book Club with you this summer as we walk through my book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl. And I wanted to give you a little bit of a heads up today. So we're airing this episode in prep for the next 12 weeks. So as such, I wanted to give you a moment to get a little bit of a taste of the book. And so we're going to spend this episode giving you the credits, intro, chapter one, and acknowledgments of Do the Thing. I wanted to read this aloud to you as we start this series, just as a little bit of a teaser. If you've not already read the book, or if you've seen it online, but you've not hit purchase yet, I wanted to give you a little bit of a taste of it. So what you're going to hear next is me reading the audiobook version of those sections of the book. So again, credits, intro, chapter one, and the acknowledgments. So go grab a copy of Do the Thing. Join us for the next 12 weeks as we walk through this book together, week by week, chapter by chapter, and enjoy the next half hour or so as I narrate those portions of the book for you. Do the Thing, published by Esther Press, an imprint of David C. Cook. All rights reserved. To Danielle, the friend who came, stayed, and cheered louder for me than I could ever deserve. This book is in the world, in part, because God used your encouragement to help me not quit for the last 8 years. Thank you. Love you big. Do you have a thing, a special cause, project, or talent that you feel called to do? Maybe you're already doing your thing, or maybe God is shifting you in a new direction. Either way, do the steps He's asking you to take feel a little too uncertain, or maybe a lot too scary? Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by the choices you're facing, or ill-equipped to live the life you were born to live? If you answered yes to any or all of these questions, I understand your struggle, because I've been there too. When it comes to attacking, the enemy is not very innovative. Oftentimes, he comes for us with a subtle question, much as he did to Eve in Genesis 3, verse 1. Did God really say that? Did he really create you to use your voice, skills, gifts, or talents? Does he really want you to grow, learn, or lead in that way? If the enemy can get a foothold in our minds, making us doubt God's word, then he can gain some ground that he was never meant to hold. The truth is, you are gifted by God in a unique way. Yes, you. No one has been wired with the exact measure of gift, skill, and wisdom that God has lavished on your life. You matter, my friend. And if you ever start to doubt that truth, remember that the Creator of the universe has planted you exactly where you are right now and has equipped you with everything you need to complete the journey ahead. A journey He has planned just for you. Perhaps you have a full-time job, but you find yourself oozing with passion for a certain creative outlet. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom who longs to lead a new ministry, volunteer project, or nonprofit. Or maybe you're an entrepreneur who is yearning to launch a new business, farmstead, or co-op. While I don't know exactly what brought you to this book, I do know you're here for a reason. And I suspect you want to discover how God desires to use your time here on earth to make Him known. We all know God does not need us to accomplish his agenda, but what an unmerited gift that he chooses to use us to bring light to the world. Let's not waste another minute of this all too brief time we have on this side of eternity. Instead, let's navigate these murky waters together using his word as our compass as we do the thing God has designed for each of us to do. My prayer is that when you're finished with this book, the pages will be dog-eared, tattered, worn, and full of highlights, not because of the words I've written, but because God is using his infallible, ever-present word to change our hearts. I'm trusting that through the lens of his truth, he'll help us see ourselves as he sees us, and that he'll give us the goals, gumption, and grace we need to become the go-getter girls he created us to be. Let's go, girls. Goodness, how I wish we were seated across from each other at a dimly lit coffee shop where I could hear your heart, learn your story, and find out exactly what led you to this message. I'd have a lavender honey latte in hand, and the floors would creak beneath our chairs as we slowly dive deep into conversation about our dreams and our fears. While I can't be with you in person, you can certainly explore this book as an individual reader. Yet I encourage you to invite at least one friend to share this experience with you because we truly are better together, no matter what your drink of choice might be. Take my dear friend Danielle, for example. We met in college more than a decade ago, and she's still a spunky, creative soul with a heart so full of Jesus it could burst. Even in seasons when country separated us, we wrote letters back and forth to each other, always making our friendship a priority. Now we live 8 hours apart, so when we do get the chance to meet, we plan for at least a 3-hour coffee date, during which we talk about what God is doing in our lives. That's what I hope this book feels like to you. I want to be your Danielle. I want to be that person you know is 100% on your side, no matter how far apart we may be. I want to offer you that safe, calm space where you feel free to open your heart and explore the questions that stir your soul. Throughout this book, each chapter will explore potential challenges or obstacles we may face when called to do the thing. We'll turn to Scripture for specific examples that point us back to Jesus, and you'll find prompts to help you bring your hopes, dreams, and concerns to God in prayer. The end of each chapter provides a section called For the Go-Getter Girl. Here, you will explore how God is speaking specifically to you. We'll revisit key takeaways and examine areas where God might be prompting you to take action. You may complete these activities by writing directly inside the book, or you may prefer to grab a journal and write more about certain topics. With each chapter, you'll discover a new statement to be added to the Do the Thing manifesto. I encourage you to read this aloud or share it with a friend as you move forward. This exercise gives us words to stand on when we need encouragement. You'll also find 6 accompanying videos in which I will guide you through specific action steps to help you do the thing. This video content is free to you and can be viewed alone or with a group. Access the videos by visiting the link or scanning the QR code on the next page. As we take this journey together, we will discover how to see our gifts and talents from a gospel-centered perspective. Prioritize goals that matter most as we move forward with gumption and grace. Overcome negative thought patterns related to our calling so that we can work and create with the confidence of a go-getter girl. Let's walk in the freedom we have in Christ and do the thing together. In the famous words of my favorite 90s icon, Shania Twain, let's go, girls. Radical Radiance is brought to you this month by Christian Standard Bible. This month, we're highlighting the CSB Lifeway Women's Bible. This Bible is designed to assist women of any age to go deeper in their study, including an in-depth collection of articles, devotionals, study tools, and more, brought to you by some of your favorite women and mine, Lauren Chandler, Priscilla Schreier, Kelly Minter, Angie Smith, Lisa Harper, and other Lifeway Women authors. There are 7 cover options to choose from. Get one for yourself and for a loved one and save 70% on select covers at lifeway.com with a promo code, all caps, LWW70. Again, that's LWW70. Personalization available on select editions. Now, back to the show. Chapter 1, Heaven on Our Hearts. A few years ago, as I trained for the St. Jude Memphis Marathon, I had some big goals in mind. I was hoping to beat my personal record of 4 hours and 25 minutes and run the 26.2-mile course in under 4 hours. Fighting the extreme heat and humidity, I ran stride for stride with my best running buddy, Christy, until around mile 12. At that point, her gait remained smooth as she focused on finishing strong. Despite my best efforts, she eventually pulled ahead of me, and I had to face the hard truth that I was not going to meet my desired time. As partners, Christy and I had agreed that we would never hold each other back, so I cheered for her as my own goal slipped through my hands. By mile 13, I had already passed through the St. Jude campus where patients and their families lined the streets to encourage the runners. I cried, I always do, and pushed through what I thought would be the most emotional part of the race. But as I entered the last 10K, God did something really special. With heat exhaustion and personal frustration settling in, I was tempted to call it quits. Then, as I approached a downtown bridge, a little girl in a wheelchair caught my attention. Perhaps reading my name on my bib, she and her family started cheering, "Go, Rebecca, go!" Their voices lifted my spirits, and suddenly, I could breathe easier. But it wasn't just their cheers that inspired me. This girl was holding a sign that read, "The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is living inside you. You can do this." Tears streamed down my face as I was reminded that the Holy Spirit was alive inside me. Did I still have to do the hard work of putting one foot in front of the other to reach the finish line? You bet. However, for the remaining 6.2 miles, the words on her sign echoed in my mind, fueling me forward until I collapsed into Christy's arms. She had finished about 5 minutes before me. Isn't that race experience like our walk with Jesus? We get weary. Something happens to remind us that He is sufficient and we simply cannot do anything without Him. Then, once we remember the divine is taking up residence inside us and we are never alone, we hold tight to our faith and finish the work we are called to do. For me, running a marathon is always a great reminder that I have limits and God does not. In endurance running, we don't race the clock, we race the distance. In other words, it's not the time that crushes us mentally, physically, and emotionally. It's the number of miles we must endure to cross the finish line. Like a marathon, a spiritual journey is a long game. No matter how defeated we may feel, we have to keep putting one foot in front of the other and never give up. You might be feeling like you don't have what it takes to start that business, train for that triathlon, or lead that small group. The simple truth is this: you don't, but in Christ, you do. That's the secret. If we actively partner with God, He will empower us by His strength to serve Him and love others. See Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I tell you this not to suggest you go sign up for a marathon, although I'd love for everyone to experience the thrill of crossing that finish line. Rather, I tell you this story because as you dare to do the thing God is calling you to do, you may have moments of exhaustion and personal frustration along the way. You may even have moments when you want to call it quits. In those difficult stretches, I hope you'll picture me cheering you forward, shouting, "Go, friend, go!" Page by page, I'll be right here by your side, holding up a sign that reads, "The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is living inside you. You can do this." Find your foundation. Since we're talking about marathons, something else I've learned as a long-distance runner is that I need to wear the right shoes in the race. And because I'm not trained as a cross-country runner, it also helps for me to run on a solid surface rather than a rugged trail. Likewise, to move forward in our spiritual journeys, we must start with the right foundation. Are you familiar with the best-selling novel Redeeming Love by Francine Rivers? If so, you may remember that the first 50 pages make up the prologue. I confess, I nervously wondered if I would ever get through that first chunk of Redeeming Love. But had I skipped the prologue, I would have missed the fullness of the story that Francine so beautifully penned for us. Recently, I was honored to interview Francine for my podcast, A Dream. During the conversation, she shared that she hoped readers would not skip the prologue in her novel, for it is vital to understanding the rest of the book. In other words, if readers didn't anchor themselves firmly to that foundation first, the rest of the story wouldn't make much sense. The same is true for us in life. We must begin seeing ourselves as God, our author, sees us. Only then will we understand the full journey he has called us to take. A kingdom perspective. Although we each carry out different jobs here on earth, God created us all to glorify him through worship and through our work. While that may sound simple, this mission may prove difficult at times. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. As Christians, we long for Eden, for the return of what this world was designed to be, a faithful people living in perfect fellowship and communion with our Creator. This fellowship was broken as soon as Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit. Shame entered the picture, and fig leaf religion, as A.W. Tozer called it, came on the scene. In his book, The Purpose of Man, Tozer writes, Adam and Eve lost the focus of their inward beauty and purpose and no longer satisfied the criteria of fellowship with their Creator. Adam and Eve's story teaches us that we can't afford to lose our focus on our inward beauty and God-given purpose, nor can we lose fellowship with our Creator. In my early 20s, I was waiting on a lot of dreams to come true. I believed God had gifted me to write and speak, but was discipling a group of college girls in my living room enough? I believed he wanted me to be a wife, but were any of my dates ever going to lead me to the right husband? I cared deeply about being a good friend, but how many bridal showers and engagement parties could I plan for everyone else while my dates kept resulting in dead ends? Feeling weary, I sat in church one morning, desperately needing a dose of hope. Loneliness and self-doubt cut deep that day. Then we sang, King of My Heart. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. He is my song. As the chorus swelled, I began to doubt the message. You're never going to let me down. I began praying and telling God how I really felt, let down by my life circumstances. That's when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and asked, Rebecca, who do you know that I am? I mentally began listing off everything I knew to be true about God. He is sufficient, all-knowing, faithful, omnipresent, a provider, a sustainer, a deliverer. And you know what I realized? These aspects of his character were truer than true and could never be compromised. While life might have let me down in that season, God had not. Suddenly, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 had a whole new meaning for me. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In other words, God's faithfulness didn't hinge on my ability to notice it in that season of disappointment. Because of the brokenness we experience in this world, it's easy to become discouraged, burned out, and even cynical about the path we've been given. When we lose sight of eternity, we can end up chasing quick wins and temporal rewards. Whether we find short bursts of relief from shopping, skydiving, exercising, or the like, those dopamine hits will soon fade, leaving us looking for our next easy high. But with heaven on our hearts, we can lay aside the temporary for the eternal. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 reminds us to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. As directed in these verses, we must make a daily choice to surrender to the obedience of Christ as we pursue the tasks he has placed before us. Knowing I am made to worship a sufficient and all-knowing God, I want to make choices in alignment with what I know to be true about him. Perhaps you've lost sight of God's character in your current season. Maybe you have taken steps to do the thing, but you haven't quite seen the progress you anticipated. If you came to this chapter feeling weary today, as if life has let you down, Remember that God's character remains always, and He is bringing everything together for your good in His divine timing. You have a helper. One risk as a runner is that you can get a little too excited, a little too self-confident, and charge ahead on all cylinders right out of the gate. Needless to say, that kind of over-striving can lead to burning out before you ever reach the goal. The same can be said about the work God has called us to do. We may embark on that race with such magnitude, believing that if we can just work hard enough, run fast enough, hustle long enough, then we can do the thing and give God all the glory. The problem is that we learn this way of thinking from the world, not from Him. We cannot accomplish God's will for our lives by ourselves, no matter how much we strive. That's a rat race we were never created to run. The truth is, we don't have to work harder, run faster, or hustle longer to give God all the glory, nor do we do any of these things to earn His love. Rather, we move forward at the healthy pace He designed us to move at and stay the course. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit as a helper who will empower us as we share the gospel with others. John chapter 15, verse 26. Maybe you own a small business and can honor God by the way you treat your customers. Perhaps you're a ministry leader, fully relying on God as you prepare to speak at a conference. Or you may be a stay-at-home mom, feeling led to tutor in your few minutes of spare time. I don't know your story, but I do know that as a follower of Jesus, you have a helper in the Holy Spirit. You have His power coursing through your veins, filling in the cracks of your weaknesses, so that He may be glorified. Some people resist a deep dependence on God because that kind of surrender means admitting weakness. It can be scary to admit our own limitations, but personally, I shudder at the thought of a life without the power of Christ guiding my work. Your greatest ideas, your most brilliant endeavors, will be a byproduct of you partnering with the King of the universe. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The more aware I am of my weaknesses, the more awake I am to God's power in my life. If we could all become better weakness braggers, then I think we could all live with a deeper dependence on Christ in our daily lives. Flip the lights on. After I graduated from the University of Tennessee, I scored my first big girl job, an HR role that was a little bit of a catch-all. On any given day, I could be leading a new hire orientation, completing verifications of employment, or conducting interviews. At 22 years old, I had figured out that I loved serving people, but I didn't quite know how to balance my deep love for Jesus with the gifts and talents I was beginning to see develop in my life. Even then, I was a little too opinionated and spunky for ministry, as it had been modeled for me. And I really, really, really liked Shania Twain's music. Do you see the dichotomy here? I wanted something more than corporate America, but I also didn't fit the mold of ministry leader as I knew it. The irony that I went on to marry a pastor is not lost on me. I loved encouraging others, especially women, and I was beginning to recognize my gifts for writing, speaking, and leading, but I had no idea how I was supposed to use those passions to serve God. Can you relate? I desperately wanted to find the assignment God had for me. Little did I know, I was exactly where He wanted me to be. I failed to see that I could make God known through the ordinary moments of my normal routine. How often do we walk right past the doors God puts before us? Maybe you don't like grading papers as a teacher, but by investing in the hearts of children, you could be changing the course of their eternity. Or perhaps you don't like the administrative paperwork you must complete for a specific project, But what if that paperwork could earn the grant needed to put your faith in action for people in need? I've found that God uses my gifts in many different spheres of my life. It's okay, actually it's amazing, to find ways to use your gifts outside the local church. We must look outside ourselves to see ways we can serve where we are, here and now. Perhaps Martin Luther King Jr. said it best. And when you discover what you will be in your life, set out to do it as if God Almighty called you at this particular moment in history to do it. Don't just set out to do a good job. Set out to do such a good job that the living, the dead, or the unborn couldn't do it any better. If it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, "Here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well." When that light switch of understanding is turned on, the connection between our gifts and his glory is made. As 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace." Keep your eyes up, sister, and sweep those streets with joy on your face, knowing you're working from a kingdom mindset with a deep dependence on the one who set you free. Are you ready to flip on your light switch? The lampstand. One night, as I brought macaroni to a boil over the stove, my husband, Dustin, who you know by now is a pastor, shared an analogy about how we can each think of ourselves as an oil lamp, usable by God when we surrender our desires to his will. As you know, when it is lit, the wick in a lamp gives light to the area surrounding it. The wick, Dustin explained, represents our gifts and talents. Each of us has been given our own unique skills, or wicks. Some wicks are longer than others. Some are wider than others. Some burn faster than others. Some are more frayed than others. But they all serve the same purpose, to shine God's light into the darkness. Still, the wick cannot burn without oil. In Scripture, oil is often used to symbolize the Holy Spirit. Just as the oil in a lamp must be refilled, our spiritual oil must be replenished by walking in step with Christ, communing with God in prayer, and reading his word daily. Inspired by Dustin's perspective, I set the wooden spoon down on the stove. "Wow," I said, "I've never thought about my life as a believer in that way." Later, as I was reading my Bible, I continued to unravel this theme of the oil lamp. In the Old Testament, the Lord instructed Moses on how to care for the lamps in the tabernacle, God's dwelling place. If we take a deeper look at God's words in Leviticus chapter 24, we can apply those same instructions to our lives today. "Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil from beaten olives for the lamp, that a light may be kept burning regularly. Outside the veil of the testimony in the tent of meeting, Aaron shall arrange it from evening to morning before the Lord regularly. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. He shall arrange the lamps on the lampstand of pure gold before the Lord regularly." It's important to realize that these lamps were the light source inside the tabernacle. They were the very means by which people could experience the presence of God. Therefore, it was crucial to keep the oil lamp replenished and the wicks trimmed so the light could continue to shine. Why does this matter to us now that Christ has been resurrected, enabling our bodies to serve as God's temple? What can we possibly learn from how the Israelites tended the lamps of the tabernacle? Again, it's important to realize that oil is used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit's presence. Though the Holy Spirit lives within us, we must keep the oil replenished if we hope to keep the Holy Spirit at the center of our lives. The wicks of our lamps also need to be trimmed if we want God's light to continue shining through us. God accomplishes this by bringing us through trials, crossing our paths with various people, and even letting us experience deep suffering or loss in order that we might become more sanctified in the image of Jesus Christ. This can be a very painful process, but as followers of Jesus, we are not promised freedom from pain. Quite the opposite. Jesus promises us that we will experience sorrows, but he also reminds us that even our pain has a purpose. Three times in Leviticus, we are told the lamps are to be tended to regularly or continually. The same goes for us today. It's important to recognize that when we burn the candle at both ends, striving for success or accolades or approval, we will quickly burn out and our oil will run dry. By keeping the Holy Spirit as our guide and allowing God to trim our lives to his will, we can serve as his vessels and allow the light of the world to shine through us. Who cares? I often coach other creatives who are hoping to begin a podcast or ministry that God has laid on their hearts. Recently, our youth pastor, Craig, came to me about a podcast idea that had been swirling around in his head. He nervously played with a straw wrapper on the table as he told me about how he wanted to honor the important ministry leaders in his life. "I want their stories to be told," he said. "I know they'll never write books, but they are doing amazing things to further the gospel. I've learned so much from them, and I think others would too." After going around and around with him about different ideas and strategies, I finally said, "Craig, I think there's something you need to establish before you hit record. Figure out how this project matters to you, how it matters to God, and how it's going to matter to other people. Have you been wrestling with a big idea and don't know what to do next? If so, I offer the same advice. First, discover why this project matters to you. That fire you feel deep inside is God-given. All you have to do is lean into those desires and discover how you can use that passion to further the kingdom. Second, discover why this project matters to God. Remember, he has gone before you in this next season, and your calling was his idea long before you were even born. Praying and seeking his glory ensures that your work will honor him and further the message of the gospel. This is how good ideas become great ideas. Third, discover why it matters to other people. Some business ideas fail simply because they don't have their end customer in mind. Blockbuster eventually tanked because technology advanced far beyond its vision of the future. After years of success, Toys R Us flopped due to the growth of online retailers, which made it easier for customers to shop without needing to visit a brick-and-mortar store. We must ensure we're cultivating an idea that serves the specific needs of the people we are trying to reach, and we must be willing to shift that service appropriately as their needs change over time. Glory goals. As A.W. Tozer wrote in The Purpose of Man, our purpose is that we might worship God and enjoy him forever. God's glory should be our ultimate aim. Our pursuits should be an act of worship. The way we love others should give evidence of our surrender to Christ. The tasks we pour ourselves into should be done with such care, responsibility, and grace that they make a non-believer stop and wonder who we're living for. In a recent worship service before my husband stood to preach, we sang Evermore, a popular song by Jason Breland. I had been writing this chapter and the lyrics led me to pray that you too could enjoy God through worshiping him. As you think about what God is whispering in your heart, I encourage you to pray these words. Evermore I will love you. Evermore I will serve you. Evermore I will glorify the name of the Lord. Evermore I'll adore you. Evermore bow before you. I will bless your name forevermore. I think we can all become overwhelmed by the idea of a purpose or calling. We're sent mixed messages by the world as to what success means and how to achieve it. It's easy to become so focused on the negatives that we become paralyzed by fear. Another clever ploy of the enemy. That's why we're going to change up our language to gain a clearer picture of where God is leading each of us. Let's start by calling this thing our glory goal. What do I mean by a glory goal? A glory goal is our attempt to clearly communicate our faith through our actions. This is how I am using my gifts and talents to advance the kingdom and bring God glory. It is the God-given assignment that will allow us to further the gospel and make disciples along the way. Your glory goal might seem small, or it might seem larger than life. No matter what it is, your glory goal will require surrender. As you move to a complete dependence on God and walk in step with the Holy Spirit, you'll develop a more of Him, less of me mentality. Remembering the declaration, you have the same power that raised Jesus from the grave living inside you. You can do this. When we live in this truth, we are able to work from a place of gospel-centered, here to worship God purpose. This is where glory goals are born. Discovering your thing. What were you made for? This is one of the most important questions you'll ever answer about your life. Perhaps your path is unclear and you're wondering, well, what does this do the thing idea really look like in my life? What is my glory goal? To answer these questions, I encourage you to think about where you are naturally gifted. For example, while some people may find organizing closets stressful, you might find it therapeutic. If so, God has gifted you with organizational skills. Perhaps you have a knack for tackling spreadsheets or tracking your family's budget and finances. Maybe planning busy schedules, leading meetings, or managing travel is your thing. Whether it's sewing, baking, cleaning, or couponing, your interests and passions can be considered sacred work, especially when you use your talents not to gain praise from others, but to shout praises in adoration of the King. It might take some prayer and thought to discover your God-given talent, but this important discovery will give you clarity as you move forward. Prayer prompts. Use these prayer prompts to help you pray and journal about what God is revealing to you in this chapter. God, will you help me see how I can use my gifts and talents to honor you in this season? Determine what my glory goal might be. Live like the Holy Spirit is taking up residence inside me. So, as we wrap up this episode, I could not help but want to include the acknowledgement section of the book. I don't know about you, but when I read a book, I always look forward to reading the acknowledgements and hearing who got to be a part of the project that really meant a lot to the author. And I just always look forward to the day when I might get to write an acknowledgement section of my own. And so I want to share it with you as we close out this episode, because there are so many special people that were a part of this process, and this book would not be something that we hold in our hands today or here in a few weeks if it weren't for these special people. So join me as I read you the acknowledgements for Do the Thing. God, thank you for rescuing me from my sin through Jesus, redeeming me, applying your righteousness to my life, and adopting me as your kid. Evermore, I will love you. Evermore, I will serve you. Thank you for opening the door for this dream to come true. Dustin, you are my greatest cheerleader, publicly and privately. You point me to Jesus always. You've dried my tears, hugged me tight, and encouraged me throughout every day of this process. Your leadership is all over the pages of this book. I hope you see it. I love you more than I ever have, and the least I ever will. Mom, you believed this day would come even when I doubted. You and Dad helped me save up to go to my first writing conference even when you wouldn't see your ROI for many years to come. Your relentless determination for me to see what you see in me helped me to not quit all these years. I got my spunky personality and my desire to encourage others from you. I wouldn't have it any other way. Dad, you taught me what it looks like to pursue what matters most. Whether it was being an amazing dad, teaching a Sunday school class, or running a marathon, you never gave up. And I get my dogged perseverance from watching yours. You are wildly consistent, yet fun. firm in what will last and easygoing about what won't. Thank you for always being proud to be my daddy. Blythe Daniel, my literary mama, I am so blessed to call you my agent. I dreamed of working with you since the day I nervously shook your hand and pitched you my idea at She Speaks in 2015. You make aspiring authors' dreams come true with both the grit and the grace that an amazing agent requires. A million thank yous would never repay the investment you've made in me. Susan, thank you for giving this first-time author a chance at her dream. You believed in the message God put on my heart, and your initial yes began a ripple that resulted in this book that you hold in your hands. I'm forever grateful that my publishing journey started with you. Julie, your editorial eye is what made this book shine. Thank you for making my first experience working with an editor one to be coveted by other authors. Thank you for caring deeply about maintaining my voice while guiding the reader on a clear path as the book progresses. I'm forever thankful for everything I learned from you. David C. Cook and Esther Press, what a dream to work with you. In the current climate, I couldn't be more reassured that I'm partnering with a publishing house that is staying true to historic Christian principles. Thank you for offering me a seat at your table. Jeanette, Rachel, Elizabeth, Nicole, Natalia, Summer, Jody, Mary, Abby. You get it. You have prayed, laughed, cried, and rallied harder than a friend could ever ask for. The true definition of community over competition. I love each of you big, and I'm grateful to run alongside you in the writing community. Reader, ultimately, this book is about you. I kept you in mind as I wrote and edited and mulled over every word. I pray it encourages, edifies, and equips you for the work of the ministry. In Jesus' name. Thank you for listening to Summer Book Club at Radical Radiance. I'm excited to walk chapter by chapter through Do the Thing for these 12 weeks with you. Ask a friend to join you this summer by sharing this episode with them. And if you haven't grabbed your copy of Do the Thing yet, grab one for them too. Read along with us week by week and feel free to use the questions for reflection at the end of each chapter as a guide for discussion at your own book club. Make sure to go to dothethingbook.org to join the free Book Insiders Club and receive access to a free devotional and all sorts of other goodies just as a thank you straight from me. And if you haven't already, go take my free 90-second quiz that will help you find out why you're stuck in your calling and give you 3 free action steps and encouragement from me and how to move forward. The link to take that is in the show notes. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Rebecca George, and I'll be back next week for another incredible conversation here on the Summer Book Club at Radical Radiance.